Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we read an interesting article about the link between obesity and COVID. I think you guys will find fascinating. We'll take some calls as well. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? Well, that's when it pertains to your home. Then there's your automotive. Well, so you got that policy. So now you want to bundle and you want to go with Geico. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ian Bagg, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, even if you're black, it's a white privilege to listen to him. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Shit, yeah.
We're having some technical issues today, so we might not be able to play anything from the internet. I blame Max Zapata, who's decided that his musical career is more important than this podcast.
Yep. He left and took the router with him.
That should make him feel pretty good about himself. Look what happens when you're not here.
He is doing the jam in the van with Loxy, his band, today. Had an opportunity to do that, so of course he leapt at it. You know, it's an interesting thing these days.
What's that?
It's a new world order. I think when it comes to employees, back in the day, if something came up, such as I got to pick someone up from the airport or I got a jam in a van,
for example,
and it happened to interfere with your work day, you would ask the boss if you could do this thing versus say you will do this thing and inform the boss, I'm not going to be here.
Was that not asked? I'm taking from your tone that was not asked.
I was informed that he will not be here today.
Oh, okay.
By him.
Yeah.
But I was not asked.
Does it
make
you,
answer would be yes.
Right. And he knew that. So he could have maybe reversed the order.
Yeah. It's just an interesting mindset.
Here we go.
It's just a younger mindset versus the old school mindset.
I certainly don't want to date myself, but does it make you feel any better to know how I agonized over having to ask for time off so I could record Street Fighter?
Oh,
I agonized over it.
Good. I'm glad you're miserable.
I thought you'd
That's
like
all
that.
I asked.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day, when I used to work construction pre-cell phones, we had an understanding. The understanding is you don't have to show up.
Right.
You just don't get paid.
Right. Yeah.
And you were paid so little, you were kind of compelled to show up because you had to make rent. But it was never like there was no phone to call. So it's weirdly, if you just woke up Monday morning, I woke up one Monday morning, my truck had been stolen. Mm-hmm. There's nothing for me to do other than
looks like Adam's hungover.
Couldn't send a missive.
Yeah. Go look for my two things can be true at the same time.
That's
I
true.
Can be hungover and have my truck stolen.
Right.
It was back in the days when I had my fuel cutoff switch in the truck. So
just pick a direction, start walking in a circle.
I didn't have to pick a direction. I knew what direction the truck was pointing.
Oh.
I parked it out on the street in front of my apartment and I pulled in one direction and I knew.
You're like white trash Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. I knew. No shit, Dick Tracy, as my sister used to say.
That makes sense.
I knew what direction it would be pointing. So I knew whoever stole it is further that direction. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to kind of scatter. And I also knew that if I did my job right and flipped the cutoff switch to the fuel pump, that there would be just enough fuel left in the float bowl of the carburetor, because back then the trucks were carbureted. You have a float bowl in your carburetor. You have a little cup.
Okay.
You have a little cup of gas.
Okay.
So if you have no gas in your car or the fuel's cut off, but you have a little bit in that float bowl, then, and you guys have experienced this in your old cars, you can turn the key and it'll catch.
Yes.
Like it'll go blah, 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 and you think it's running, yeah, and then it goes blah, 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 because no new fuel,
right,
you burned up. I would always leave enough in there. I don't know. Tell me if you think this is weird. I started to pick points where I knew if I flipped the switch off at this stop sign.
I was just thinking the same thing.
That was
thing.
One block off. I tested it. I could get
to your place.
Two more
Coast
blocks.
In.
Right.
Yep.
Now, I didn't want it to be out of fuel when it was sitting where it's sitting.
You want that sweet spot of like a few, just enough drops to get it going, right?
I did not want the criminal looking for a cutoff switch.
Oh,
okay. I thought you were trying to plant it for yourself, but you're saying,
no.
Okay,
my
okay.
feeling was, I would flip the switch off as I was coming in from work or whatever on any day, just to find a marker.
Mm-hmm.
If I got to in front of my apartment and I was essentially out of gas, mm-hmm, I would flip it off 200 feet later.
Got it.
I wanted whoever got in my car, because kill switches and things of this nature were popular at the time.
Where are they? Where were they located?
The switch was on the seat mount, which is a bench seat. It was like, you know, piece of, mm-hmm, raised sheet metal, you know, it's on the floorboard of the truck. And it was directly between my legs on the floor. And I would just reach down and flip it.
Got it.
It was the kind of switch you could find if you were looking for,
right,
it. That I didn't want to bury it in some place where I couldn't get to, mm-hmm, it. But I didn't want anyone looking for it. So I would leave enough fuel in there to have them start the car,
yep,
and then leave with the car and then have it simulate running out of gas, which it, right, actually would be doing,
yeah,
100 yards up the street.
So it worked perfectly. It worked the way you planned it.
I went and found my car. I remember at the time thinking, oh, I got my truck stolen. And then thinking, ooh, I can't go to work today. And then finding my truck 5 minutes later down the street thinking, I could go to work today.
Yeah.
But I did get my truck stolen, yeah, technically.
Yeah,
and
I'd
already,
so much.
Not going to work back then was a lot like the thought of ordering a pizza. It's hard to undo.
Good luck going back.
Once you have that thing in your head, mm-hmm, of what you want on that pizza and you're having pizza, yeah, tonight, good luck undoing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I am not going to work. I'm
going
to order a pizza.
It would be more devastating to end up going to work than to just not find your truck.
Yes, at that point.
At that moment.
It was all the trappings of my horrible studentness, which was like, if I heard the school flooded or there's, mm-hmm, an earthquake, I was like, good.
No can
good,
do.
We don't have to go in. Even though I wasn't getting paid and I barely had enough to make ends meet,
yeah,
I still
on?
Was like, I decided not to go to work today.
I think we've all been there with that particular kind of job.
Yeah. So I was able to find my truck up the street again on a couple of occasions. And because I'd spray painted my radio, the radio was still in the dashboard. People,
you really prepared for this?
Oh yeah, I knew. I knew. I've always been very realistic, which is, I allergic to common sense.
That's
son,
right, buddy.
I
got all of my sinuses.
I was like, everyone's ripping out everyone's car stereos, mm-hmm, and everyone's stealing everyone's mini truck in the San Fernando Valley, and I have no insurance.
Yeah.
And this truck is all I got.
Yep.
It is my second most valuable object in my life. Like I would
was
say
the first one, the Tupperware?
That the truck was number one at, you know, $1,800,
right,
and number two would have been a hibachi.
Right.
I bought at the Home Depot, street value $12. Like there that was all I had.
You're obviously not counting organs like your kidneys or something. Probably street value.
You know, actually, I probably had a skill saw, like a hypoid saw, come in second place at $100, and then there was the hibachi, and maybe after that a universal remote, and then I'd be down to like salt shakers, like in terms of street value.
Sure.
Oh, I may have had a leather sofa. I think maybe my leather sofa could have come in second place.
What about the found booth?
The banquette.
You moved it with like a broken leg or something.
I had moved away from the banquette. Aww. This is later on.
Moving on up.
Later on in life.
I'm glad you explained why you did this, because if you didn't explain it, one could think, well, that's pretty narcissistic. Out of all the trucks, they're going to steal your truck. But you explained it, so that makes sense.
They stole mini trucks left, right, and center in the San Fernando Valley in the 80s, and they certainly stole everyone's stereo. Mm. They ripped out every stereo from every dash, and it made for an amusing thing because they stole so many stereos and so many cars that they invented the stereo that pulled out. Yeah. They invented the stereo whose face popped off. You take it with you into the movie theater.
Into the restaurant.
Where a lot of people lost them and got drunk and left them. Then they stole their own stereo. Yeah. Also, this is something that used to happen. You'd find these notes, these super angry notes, like in the windows of cars going, stereo's already been stolen. So leave me the fuck
alone.
Nothing
of value here.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because they would steal the stereo, but they would destroy the dashboard stealing it. It was like you'd get your window busted. And you'd get your dash destroyed, and the stereo being gone was kind of the least of your worries because your window was punched out and your dash was blown up.
How much would you get for a stolen car stereo?
That's a great question.
You wouldn't get anything. You would get a hit of something, like a fix of something.
Sure.
Like nobody retailed in these things. It was like I just sort of distilled it down to, if you're walking around and you're looking into car windows that are parked in like a residential area or a parking lot of a movie theater, restaurant, or something like that, and you are bashing in the window, reaching in and tearing out the stereo, that is a completely desperate move.
Sure.
That is not you trying to amass wealth so you can send your youngest to college or trade school. It's like, I need a fucking hit of cocaine right now. So get that. So they rip off a $500 stereo and they sell it for $50 because they needed a hit. That's why I knew that if I desecrated my own stereo, that person couldn't flip it.
Yeah.
If it was the kind of person that had some long-term plan, then all you do is get some acetone or lacquer thinner and some Q-tips and spend the weekend cleaning it up in your mom's house, and then you sell it for $300 or whatever it is. But this was I decided in my head it was a desperate act.
Yep.
Yeah, the thing about
Joker burning half the money.
Yeah.
I'm only burning my half.
Yeah, my buddy Carl, when we were walking through Tijuana all those years ago looking for the donkey show, kept spitting on my back.
Talk about a desperate move.
And I had borrowed his jacket because it was freezing outside and like he had another jacket or something. And he was drunk and he kept spitting on the back of my jacket. And I kept saying, Carl, stop spitting on the back of my jacket. And he goes, it's my jacket.
Yeah.
So he was Joker. By the way, if anyone wants to know drunk guy activities, that's one of them.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to know the difference between men and women when they're drunk,
that's a big one.
That's a big one. You probably wouldn't even been looking for the donkey show.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
That's right. So when it comes to any problem, whatever faces our society, this is what bothers me about homelessness when they go, it's a mom of three who recently got laid off from her job. I go, no. Get to the root. Mm-hmm. What is the root? What do they want? Who wants your stereo?
Right.
These aren't international jewel thieves. Like, who wants it and what's the process?
Yeah.
And what are they going to do?
What are you getting in exchange?
And once you figure that out, you paint your stereo.
You think like a criminal.
That's right. And everyone used to think I was nuts because everyone who got my car would go, why is your stereo beige?
It's my stereo.
It's right. Still there, ain't it?
Spit on it. Yeah. All right. So let's see. Dawson has an article on COVID and obesity. Again, opportunity missed here, people, to really send a message about, again, we could have, you know.
Wasn't there a war against obesity, or was that Michelle Obama? What am I making
yeah,
it up?
Yeah, she was the new food plate instead of the pyramid.
Here's the thing. Drew and I always used to talk about this because some guy would call in the love line. He'd say his girlfriend's put on a whole bunch of weight. Mm-hmm. He's not attracted to her and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And we would always say, don't go to her and say, I'm tired of fucking your fat pussy. Say to her,
darling,
say to her, I talked to Dr. Drew. He's worried about your health. Mm-hmm. This is a health issue.
Yeah.
And she's still going to be pissed, but if you approach it like a doctor saying you need to lose weight for health reasons, right? So we don't live in a society, you can't fat shame. You can't tell anyone they're overweight. If you work for Dove or Unilever or whatever, they have to have a bunch of morbidly obese chicks talking about this is the new sexy, but could have used the pandemic.
Yeah.
As the doctor's note.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, baby, we're just following science here, America.
It's on my hands.
I love you too much to watch you get sick.
You're beautiful when you're morbidly obese, but you're also more enticing to the COVID.
Yeah.
And so here's a perfect opportunity to have a conversation.
Yep.
Never did have that conversation. And probably most people hung out. Ate more fast food delivered to their house than ever before, and because ironically put weight on.
It's because we're good Americans, and that's what we were told to do. Mm. Hunker down, order food, have them leave it on your door, and go run away as fast as they can.
Right. We were told to hunker down and support these businesses. Yes. And so everyone just had food brought to their house, and everyone got fatter. So here's this article that somebody tweeted me.
Just a little extra weight raises risk of severe COVID in study. Carrying even a little extra weight raises the risk of developing a severe form of COVID-19, especially in younger adults, according to a new study. The findings published Thursday offer fresh insights into who is most at risk of complications, laying out the effects for certain age and ethnic groups, and showing how weight gain matters. The study comes as repeated lockdowns and pandemic stress led to expanding waistlines in many developed countries, and quashes the perception that only the obese face worse outcomes. Those with a body mass index above 23, which is considered at the upper range of the healthy range, upper end of the healthy range, are already at higher risk, according to UK researchers. They found that each 1-point increase in BMI, body mass index, raises the chance of hospitalization by 5% and of intensive care admission by 10%.
Just 1 point each point above.
And 23, like you said, is the high end of the healthy scale. Like that's right. That's not obese.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you find the BMI? Because I heard people talking about it as it pertains to people over 25 can get the shot. BMI right. or whatever, but it's not that hard to get to 25, I don't think.
And remember, like in gym class, they would have someone come with that little pointy thing and pinch the back of your arm for your BMI. Do we still do that?
We had a rope and we tied it to the ceiling and we knew who the fat kids were immediately.
Got it.
That
got
was
it.
Our BMI
I see.
Caliper.
You don't remember those little like pinchers? Did you have those, Brian?
I didn't have that.
No. That's some Midwest bullshit.
Must be.
Yeah, we'll try to figure out.
They didn't factor in shtet alarms, though. I was born with those.
I'm 6'2", so I'm trying to read this.
I can't see
this thing and see where we're at. Gina has made her way over to the body mass. I'm 200 pounds.
160. And climbing.
You're 26.
So I'm over.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Get your black dress ready, Gina.
So I'm 26 at 6'2", 200 pounds. Sorry. What do I got to get down to get
23 is the high end.
Wow.
Right. But was that 185 pounds or?
190 is at 6'2". Yeah. 6'2", 190 is at 24, which is the last one before it's considered.
I got to cut some weight.
You got 15%, 5% for every tick.
Yeah, I mean, I have been walking around at 200 pounds for some time, and it's heavier than I'd like to be. But 190 is pretty slim for me, so I'd still be over it at 190.
That's wild.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
The impact was greatest in those under age 40, and the risks were amplified for black people compared to other ethnic groups, scientists found after studying the health records of almost 7 million people in England. Being overweight had little effect on outcomes for people older than 80. The research was published in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology Journal.
But have you ever seen an overweight or an obese 80-year-old?
Oh, sure.
Really? They always seem so frail and spindly.
Well, it's hard to be morbidly obese in 87. You're usually dead.
It's a self-selecting group.
You
know, yes.
We don't see a lot
that
of them.
Is true.
It's my my mean pantheon grandma. Of mean grandma uh-huh. talk. Haven't brought it up in a long time, but famously, when I was like 17, my grandma. I don't know if your grandmother was this way too, but I was always by nature kind of a smartass. You know, I always had a retort, like Brian, had something prepared.
Always had some comeback.
He said something to me, I said something
wise,
back.
Wise,
I make
crack.
A joke. No. I would just make a crack, you know? And when I was like 17, my grandmother said, you know, in the old age homes, in the nursing homes, in the old care facilities, and they weren't talking about a hospice. I mean, it was like retirement homes and stuff. He said it, 10-1, women to men. And I just went, whoa. More chicks for me. And she just went, what makes you think you're going to be the one guy?
Like
you're going to be dead, grandson.
Wow.
I was like, wow, I'm 17. I have to ponder my own mortality, you old bitch. I'm fucking miserable enough. I can't even get a decent sandwich around this fucking house.
The one thing I'd look forward to.
I made a joke. The joke was when I'm 82, I'll have my pick of the litter with the lady. I'll be the cock.
You'll be the fox in a chicken coop.
Yes, I will be the rooster who rules the roost with all the ladies in my. No,
Connor
her
walk.
Thing is statistically you'll
be
dead.
Ma'am. God,
not sure why she needed to. Why include that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Quash your one dream.
That's all I had.
Yeah,
and you know, talk about delayed gratification. Hey, in about 62 years, you're going to be sitting pretty. Sunny.
Things are going so old, the ladies now.
The milk commercial never got to that one. Remember, it used to be the kid in the mirror that got older and stronger. He never got to the nursing home.
No, she felt very. It was very important for her to include the fact that, according to statistics, I'll be one of the 9 guys who died and not the 10th who's alive and having sex with the elderly.
Right.
Yeah.
With your peers.
It's weird. It's always the calorie burning being mean. It's always an interesting subject to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's it's kind of like there are those people out there who go like you go you know, I was watching such and such the other night, and they go, "Yeah, you already told me." And I always think to myself, "You, that's true."
Yeah.
But if you waited 30 seconds, it would have been over.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can just go, "Yeah." And to me, it's like when people call me Al, and I don't get at the Starbucks or something. It's like, it's weird just to stop and go, "You're wrong."
It's,
you know,
it's time for you to put your brain in neutral and just coast for 45 seconds. Guys telling the story you heard 5 minutes ago, well, by all means, I'm going to take a eyes wide open nap.
You could break America into one of two groups. The ones that go, you already told me that. And the ones that just sort of sit there and go, yeah, I'm just going to hear this thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who you were probably tuned out the first time anyway. So
they're giving you another opportunity.
Right. All right, someone wants to pull some balls and sorry, Dawson, you had more, or did you have more?
That was the end.
Okay, so BMI over 23, according to my math, I'm at 24 at 190, and I'm 13 pounds away from 190, so that means to get to 23, I'm probably 185, which is... You know, that's playing weight for me.
Sinewy.
And
stands with the stars
so
weight.
So now, that's dance with the stars weight. So you are at risk if you're pretty much anything above pretty fit. I mean, if you got an, you got 5 pounds on fit,
right?
That's you. And boy, those numbers go up fast. So we could have used this as a nice little teachable moment, but we didn't.
Here we are.
All right. Let's see. Eric has a family that fell, family member that fell into QAnon, and then also Mike wants to pull some balls in Golden, Colorado. Eric, 38, Bay Area.
Yeah, Adam, get it on.
Hi, guy.
Yeah, so I have a family member. They're not loud and proud Q, but everything that comes out of their mouth is from that world. Mm-hmm. And I've had a chance to talk to them about it. Didn't go great. It was hard to talk about it without feeling like I'm insulting them.
Yeah.
Because it's just so hard to believe the things that they believe in. And so what would your advice be to try to kind of get them snapped out of it? Or would you just not bring it up again?
Do you need them? What do you...
Quiet.
What...
I've got a little guy here.
What do you need? What would Baldwin say to that?
No, Baldwin would be...
Quiet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Awesome. How close are you? Like, do you need these people? Like, my first thing with family members is, can we keep walking here? Right. You see them for Thanksgiving? You know, or do you have to kind of deal with them?
Are you neighbors? What's the deal?
No, we don't see each other very much, but we grew up together.
Is this a cousin or something, a peer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. That's a cousin.
There you go.
How is their life running? Because I factor this in. You know what I mean? There's social drinking, and then there's right. I can't go to work drinking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And one of them you don't really need to stop, and the other one you do need right. to get involved in. Is it affecting this person?
You know, it's hard to say. We don't live near one another, and so I really couldn't tell you. It seems like otherwise they're doing okay. I mean, I'm not otherwise worried. I'm not saying I got to call this person.
Are they married? Do they have a significant other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're married.
Is the wife down with the QAnon?
No.
That's good.
How's your relationship with the wife?
Well, it's my cousin's the female, actually, so it's her husband.
Oh, but, so
it's
funny.
It's the same. We get along, but we don't talk that often.
It's interesting. Yeah, when I hear QAnon, I just assign a gender to it. I think it's a dude.
Yeah, makes a lot more sense.
But I don't know.
You and Drew spent a lot of time trying to figure out if QAnon was a thing, what it was, et cetera, et cetera. Eric, what is alarming to you about this relative?
Well, it's more that they've got kids, and they're all in high school. They're older, and so I guess they worry a little bit about setting a good example for them.
Yeah, are they in the Bay Area too?
No, they live far away.
No, I couldn't afford that.
Everybody's far away.
Come on.
Okay. I might talk to the spouse. So then, sorry, how are you with the husband of this woman?
Yeah, we're cool.
And the husband's not down with the QAnon deep dives?
No, he's not, but he's the impression I'm getting is that he's kind of stayed out of it.
Well, maybe it's time he involve himself. I would, I might talk to the husband. That I don't think you're really going to get the straight stuff out of her.
Yeah, and in what? Give me one example ever when you know you're right and somebody else is wrong, and you try to beat that into their head, and it's ever worked. Like that's never the way to
go. It's
a losing
proposition.
Never works. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious here. You just keep saying QAnon stuff. What are the specific things that this woman is saying disagree with?
I was about to ask that as well.
Is this the child bloodletting?
No. I hope that's not part of it. No, it's more, not trusting the vaccine. You know, I heard so-and-so died from it. You know, stuff about something about Bill Gates a while ago getting sued somewhere for the pandemic. Vote counting. You know, maybe who knows? Maybe Trump won the election. You know, it's stuff like that where it's hard to say. it's just like Brian has said before, you know, to what end? To what end would Bill Gates want to involve himself in something like this? He's the richest
man
in the world.
I guess.
It's those types of things.
Here's a philosophical way to look at it. You know, a lot of people are into anime. Doesn't make sense.
Go on.
Doesn't make it right.
Doesn't make it right. I find it kind of repugnant. But as long as they're not hurting anyone, they're just hanging around with other like-minded idiots who like characters with huge eyeballs. Mm-hmm. I find it off-putting. I suppose, you know, if the anime people took to the streets to take back the Capitol or something, that'd be funny. But as long as she's just thinking about stupid stuff, then maybe that's her distraction and, like, who cares? I mean, I would say, I would talk to the husband, and I would say, if this starts manifesting, like, I want the kids pulled out of school, or I don't trust the backup camera in the minivan, so I've turned it off, and I ran over the neighbor's kid. Like,
small
if that's
to pay.
If it's starting to manifest itself, then do it. I would talk to the husband. Eric?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So if I had you on mute,
not sexy.
Thank you.
I would also just kind of keep walking.
Yeah.
Mike, 42, Colorado. Oh, you want to pull balls in Golden, Colorado?
I absolutely do. Hey. Hey, everybody. I love all the Ace, I love you. And Bald, Gina, awesome, Dawson. Fan of all the pods.
Shit, yeah!
Thank you.
Keep it up, everybody.
Thank you.
Do you live in Golden?
No, I'm in Fort Collins.
How far out is that?
Another happy beer town in Colorado.
Mm. Golden. Golden is so nice. We went there to go on the Coors tour, and I don't know, we showed up late or whatever. There was a line, and we just went, fuck it. And we just went into town, and we sat outside. I think Sonny had like a buffalo burger or something. Ooh, had a few beers and just it's
Colorado.
You guys been
buffaloes.
You been into Golden? Have you been into Golden?
No, we've done a few shows in Colorado and not never Golden.
I've been to cities like that in Colorado, and they are utopic.
Golden kind of makes Denver look like Burbank or something.
Yeah.
Like it is so quaint and everyone's out walking and they have weird little statues and rivers and it's just idyolic. So
awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Fort Collins is similar and great. The downtown here is what Walt Disney based his downtown on is our Walnut Main Street here.
Man.
So it's, just idyolic, to say the least.
Yeah. So, I said that right. Sorry. Wait, go ahead, Brian.
I was saying, it sounds apocryphal. This is like every nice town has a version of that. Mm. Bobo Island has a version of that. I'm sure every nice place.
Walt Disney.
Sea Haven. Oh, he'd be a bassist. But you know what? Maybe he's right.
Yeah.
he did.
I'm with Brian. Burn the town down, and it's a pack of lies built on a foundation of misinformation and lies.
Here's something from the Colorado end.
By Disney, who was certainly an anti-Semite.
By all means,
that's
that
true.
Town needs to go down.
The story of Disneyland's Main Street and Old Town Fort Collins. Fort Collins inspired Disneyland's Main Street.
Of course the Coloradoan's going to say that.
Yeah, you on a QAnon website there?
WanderDisney.com, a tour of Harper Goff's Fort Collins, the inspiration for Disneyland's Main Street.
All right.
It says here in the Floridian that it was based on Tampa's downtown.
Well, if I lived there, I might make that claim.
And also Marceline, Missouri, a tale of two main streets, the towns that inspired Disney.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Fort Collins and Marceline. The
story's falling apart for various.
Yeah, exactly. It's Florida will be in there by the end of the article.
So, Mike, you want to pull some balls?
I absolutely do. I'm going to be at the Buffalo Rose on Saturday the 19th for both shows, for the live pod and the You're Not Being Prepared.
Good. Have you ever been in the Buffalo Rose?
No, I haven't. My wife is from Colorado, which is what got us to move back here.
Yeah.
And she knows all these places and is over the moon.
I was, we hadn't been inside of the Buffalo Rose, but we sat directly across the street outdoors at a cafe enjoying our bison burgers and beers, and we're looking at the Buffalo Rose the entire time going, oh, that's a pretty cool joint. So good. And then, of course, you got the Shelby Museum that's a stone's throw away as well. So good on you. All right, Mike, you're in.
Awesome.
We'll put you on hold. We'll figure it out. We'll see you on the Saturday, June 19th.
Awesome. Thanks, Ace. Love you, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, man. All right. Let me take care of a little business there. Christina from Buffalo. Hang on.
Oh, Buffalo. That was Disney based in Main Street.
That's right. Downtown, Old Town Buffalo.
Also, I couldn't look up at the screen and keep saying Buffalo Rose without thinking I was just reading it off the screen and it was somehow polluting my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. Having a senior moment there. Let me tell you about Air Medcare Network. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. Plan ahead. In an emergency, Air Medcare Network's highly trained crews provide air medical transportation to the nearest, most appropriate trauma center. With an Air Medcare Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight. And AMCN membership also covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. So secure your financial peace of mind. As a listener, you get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. So what do you got to lose, man? Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Adam and use the offer code Adam and protect your family. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with Christina from Buffalo right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Explosion.
Ew. That was a totally innocuous word until Mike Dawson said it. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we got Christina, 44, from Buffalo, has a theory on woke culture and labels and bags. Christina?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, girl.
So I think I identified the seed that was planted for our woke culture and then spread like an invasive species, and I'm wondering if you agree.
Mm-hmm.
Warnings on every plastic bag under the sun that it's not a toy and children could suffocate.
Interesting. We have talked a lot about warnings and do not attempts and how stuff just became ubiquitous a few years ago. I mean, I've always sort of spoken about the umbrella of safety and how that could be expanded to almost anything. And there is a direct correlation. If you hear about all the people that have feel unsafe, feel threatened. Also, you know, as it pertains to the whole COVID thing, it's like there's a lot of talk now about an abundance of safety, like an abundance. Precaution. I also bring it back to the zero tolerance. You know, we have zero tolerance for whatever, racism or bullying or whatever. And by the way, I never know. I don't feel like you announcing you have zero tolerance for anything ever stopped anyone from doing anything ever. Yeah. But it's nice. But yeah. It's getting out. It's It's kind of all encompassing. I don't know what came first, you know, the wokeness or the egg. Like, was it the labels that came and made people woke, or did the wokeness do the labels?
There's a lot of correlation versus causation. Feels like the former. You know what I mean? Like, they may have happened around the same time. Not one begat the other, but the timeline matches up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This thought came into my mind because I ordered a pillow from Amazon and it came compressed in plastic wrap. And there was this giant yellow warning label on it. I've seen toxic waste with lesser warnings than this pillow.
And you were supposed
to... toxic waste have you seen?
You were supposed to not play with the bag it came in?
Yes, it was. The warning was that children. It said children and babies may suffocate. Don't play with it. It was a plastic film that the pillow came in. I have a picture of it. I can email it to Max Zapata.
You know where a lot of this started with me, and it would drive me insane when I made money, and one of the first things I did was go get myself a nice car after I started making some money. And I loved the interior. I remember clearly I had a Jaguar. Ooh. And the interior had like the burl walnut and the dash and the chronograph clock. And it was really spectacular. And like the headliner was like cashmere or something. And everything was beautiful. Everything was like Alcantara leather or something. Everything was spectacular, but it drove me insane that there was a big bright orange warning decal that had been ironed on to the sun visor telling you how to put your seatbelt on.
Really ruins the aesthetic.
And because it was
luxury aesthetic.
Because it was like hot ironed on, you couldn't peel it off. It was just there. And I think the headliner and the sun visors were like beige or natural or whatever, tan or whatever. I think I spray painted it. I got so bothered by
this. You do have a rich history of spray painting.
Yeah, well, I used this on my radio, my last car.
Yeah, and it was also the other thing that bothered me is it was the exact same iron-on yellow seatbelt warning sticker that would come on a Ford Fiesta.
Yep.
I was like, what is that cheap-ass Ford Fiesta shit doing in my Jag?
Yep.
And I'm now thinking about it. I don't think they're on the sun visors anymore.
No, they're not, because that's where the mirror goes, the little flip-up mirror.
What was, you got to find that if you can, Kaylin, that warning that was spot welded onto the visors of all cars from like 1989 to like 2005 or something. But for some reason, we don't need them anymore. But I was also like, did it have something to do with the airbag? Maybe it was the airbag and not the seatbelt. Yeah, but again, what shall I do with the information? It's a kind of a... there's an old Seinfeld joke when he talked about at the post office putting all the wanted ads up. And he'd be like, what am I supposed to? And he'd go, you know, give me a book of stamps and a search warrant. I've had it up to here with this guy's activities. like, what shall we do with this thing?
Yeah.
My seat is where the seat is. Yeah. The seat belt's on and the airbag is in the steering wheel.
Yep.
I have no idea what to do with your airbag information.
I'm not putting a car seat in this two-seater.
I'm certainly not going to put it on my lap.
Right.
We have...
Because that was a lot of the warnings for don't put a car seat in the passenger seat because the airbag.
What? Do you guys think you have that on your newish car?
No.
I'm positive I don't.
No.
I don't think I do either.
No, because I just drove back from Joshua Tree in the passenger seat, and there's nothing on either one.
What was that? All right, Max Pata. Sure, I mean, not Max Pata, but Kaylin, you got to find it. I think
I
it's
do,
an,
I do
an
see
airbag.
The car seat one here. I'll put it up.
The one on the visor.
That's the one I'm familiar with. Don't put a car seat there because it'll crush the kid.
Oh, that's on a visor though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on the, but it shouldn't be on the driver's side.
No.
Visor. No. It could be on the passenger
side. Yeah, that's a little flippy mirror part.
Right. All right. Anyway, that's probably what it was. Drove me nuts. Christina?
Yes.
Also, I must say, that as humans, it's important to, you know, when you put your hand over an open flame, you pull it back. You know what I mean? Like, yep. You need to kind of have a relationship with things that are dangerous and to kind of understand them. I, as a former carpenter, the first thing you learn is sort of every tool and what it could do to you. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point.
And you have a relationship with everything, right. And you wouldn't do certain things with certain tools. And it's many have lost an eye or a digit or a life who came before us, but that's part of the process. Kind of worry that we're sort of bubble wrapping everyone and kind of removing that from life, that important experience. And now now they don't even want us to profile.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you, guys.
Buffalo.
Okay.
We got Steve from Nebraska. Was in a Target and noticed something. I didn't even read the call. Steve?
It's a real problem with playing anxiety.
what's going on, Steve?
So you always talk about commercials being like a sign of the times and whatnot. And as I was walking through Target the other day, Gina, just for a frame of reference here, you know, a lot of guys, when they see a, you know, come up on a woman or something, or see a picture of a woman, it's not, we don't analyze necessarily, you know, her eyes or her hair.
Right.
The first question is, would you bang her or not? That's usually the first one that comes into the mind for a lot of guys. So assuming, you know, all women want to bang us at any given time, because that's what porn has taught us through
now,
the ages.
To be fair to males, Steve, because I don't want Gina thinking we're just walking through the Target picking and choosing who we'd bang.
Yeah.
We'd let all of you blow us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mighty nice
of
you.
So we're not.
Hardly any questions asked.
Yeah, there's almost no barrier to entry.
You'd let us.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's benevolent.
I don't want you to think we're just like some kings, you know, anointing queens.
How incredibly generous of you.
Yeah, well, I want accuracy on this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Steve. I don't want you to think we're Neanderthals.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but as I was walking back to look for a pair of swimming trunks, and I walked past the women's clothing section, and they always have pictures up of models displaying whatever clothes are out and whatnot. And I walked by and I was not attracted to a single out of 9 pictures.
How dare they?
I found myself rather unattracted to all these women. And it seemed, I don't know, it seemed like a sign of the times to me of the size of the women, or just the pure unattractiveness of them to include, you know, any and all people in models that go up in these pictures.
You didn't want to fuck any of those pictures.
Call me old-fashioned, but I like a good, I don't know. If you're going to put someone up there in their bra and underwear, maybe they should be attractive to me, I guess.
I'm with you, Steve.
Well, you're the main consumer they're going for, the Target demo.
Yeah, I have definitely noticed that, too. And I think they figured out, models used to be sort of aspirational.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what you would want to look like in this bikini.
Another aspirational. Yeah. Am I right, bro? Gina's laughing so hard she can't even form words.
Right.
No, I think it's a sort of, you know, when you go to the IHOP, they put pictures of the food on the menu, but they don't take pictures from Spago.
Oh, from other restaurants?
Well, they just go, this is what your fucking shit on a shingle is going to look like.
That's right.
And they give you about the best version of it.
They do.
But it's still a Diablo sandwich or a lumberjack stack.
Moons over my hammy.
They do the best they can with what they have.
Yes.
But this is what you're getting. And I think Target has figured that out now, too.
That makes perfect sense, because, you know, I thought he was going to say this, that the mannequins at Target are plus size. And I think, I mean, that makes sense. Like you said, it used to be aspirational, but now people just want to know, fuck that. I don't look like her. What's it going to look like on me? And that's where they finally realize that's who their clientele is. So they're catering to it.
The kind of interesting part of this is I don't feel like they're doing it in the dude department. The dudes.
No, I don't think so either.
They focused on race. They got a lot of mixed races going on, but there's no
black head, white body.
Yeah, they're really mixing up those races.
Well,
they don't have a lot of porkers in the dude department.
That's a good point.
They got black dad in the dude department.
Which
the
I women, think most of the ladies are down.
Yeah, the women are. Oh, According to commercials on TV, fully 86% of the married couples are mixed in this country.
That's right.
This is according to TV, as far as I can tell. And the other 14% is a single mom with her with her red-haired son.
Right. Well, I don't want to further upset Steve because he sounds like he's already been through a lot. But when I just Googled Target advertisements.
Hold on. Steve, you there?
Yeah.
I'm there.
If you had to fuck just one of the pictures. could you decide, or would you have to give you a couple of beers?
Yeah, I might need a couple and throw back a couple of them.
They're also
it's a pretty wide variety too. I guess I have a lot of variety to choose from at this point. So
I, you know, also there is one thing that Target is kind of not intentionally doing, which is. The dudes who get dragged along while the wife's looking for clothing, that's about all they had was to stare at the hot chick in the bikini.
See. Right.
You know what I mean? It was kind of the Victoria's Secret thing at the mall. Like, that's what you had.
Sit on one of those pink velvet chairs, take it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Team Walmart now, as you know. But when I looked up Target advertisements, the first thing that came up was this delightful couple.
Oh, dudes!
So, they are really expanding their horizons.
Oh, yeah, a lot of dudes, a lot of gay couples.
It says be yourself together.
I'm trying to think. All right, gay couples may in fact shop at Target, but not for clothing. That's my take. They'll definitely go there and get an oversized wooden salad bowl.
Right, from the Chrissy Teigen Cravings collection.
Yeah, or one of those yoga balls or something. Maybe some outdoor furniture, but I don't think there's sweater shopping there.
No, I think you're right about that.
That's probably different.
That's not the gay couples I know.
Right. I don't know if this makes or helps or hurts your point, but it's interesting because you mentioned the IHOP, the pictures of the food. Speaking of impossible beauty standards, and they eliminated this, according to Christy, a few years ago, but back in the day, the food photography wouldn't even be food. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like a scoop of ice cream was
shortening.
It was something other than the food.
Right. Glue.
To make it look more delicious.
Glue was always
glistening.
Milk, because of the blue factor of it.
And Christy's like, oh, they stopped doing that.
Really? That's my favorite thing. I love those little secrets about all, like when they're putting the toothpicks into the styrofoam underneath.
You can't do that anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was trying to... It's outlawed.
Impossible. I guess there's some.
So the photographer must eat whatever they take a photo of.
It's like you better
whether it's shaving cream or whipped cream.
Here's how boring and shitty and devoid of entertainment my childhood was. One of the highlights was showing up at someone's house that had a candle that looked like a banana split.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big deal. Yes. Like, well, that looks exactly like a banana split.
Very 80s.
But it's a candle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had one. I had the ice cream cone.
I'm going to stare at it for another 40 minutes.
Yeah. I had the strawberry ice cream cone.
Don't light it. If you light it, it'll melt in. And then people will know it's not a banana split.
Yep.
Because it looks just like a banana split. But, but it's a candle. Could you imagine pitching that to my kids? I'd like you to marvel at candles for a while.
It's nominally a candle because you can't light it, like you said.
I know
Are you kidding me?
It's basically Dan Aykroyd and his vodka. You can't open the skull; it's just there. All right, let's see. In Bag is here, so we'll talk to him in a second. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. DIYers and pros have trusted JB Weld for 50 years plus for projects big and small, home and garage. Let's say your candle breaks. You need to put it back together. You go with JB Weld, world's strongest bond. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives as a sponsor. I personally know the owner. I was very organic. I was just wandering through SEMA, saw the JB Weld stand, wandered in for some hot adhesive talk, and spoke to the owner. And now he's a sponsor. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. JB Weld, I fixed Sonny's shoe with JB Weld. Stromer fixed his tile tray, wet saw tray with JB Weld. Different JB Weld products, but JB Weld nonetheless. And I also acquired a Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So JB Weld, right, Dawson?
JB Weld is available at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA.
All right. One of our favorite Ian Bagg comedian is going to be in studio right after this.
Have you ever heard that story that Napoleon used the Egyptian Sphinx for target practice and shot its nose off? Or maybe you've heard that a French astrologer named Nostradamus correctly predicted nearly 500 years of human history. Or maybe someone told you that the legendary blues guitarist Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads in Mississippi. These stories are what I like to call historical myths. Great little tales that may or may not have any basis in historical fact. On Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story, it simply must be told. If you dig stories about death-obsessed emperors, lost civilizations, desperate sieges, voodoo black magic, and famous historical figures you thought you knew, then Our Fake History might just be your new favorite podcast. Still not sure? Then stick around to the end of the episode today to hear a teaser episode of Our Fake History. If you dig it, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.